Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the One Board Podcast. I am Rick White, one of your co-hosts, and with me, I would say as always, but it's been a bit since he and I have joined. Excuse me, you're not allowed to talk yet.
Sorry, you didn't introduce me yet. It'll be a surprise.
Is a man that keeps interrupting me when I try to say nice things about him. It's Ryan Gutowski. How are you?
That's me. They call me Interrupting Steve.
We are all...
only problem is my name's Ryan.
Yes. Why do they call you that? None of us really know.
Don't know. I guess Steve just interrupts people a lot, so...
Yeah. Who are they, anyway? Who are the they?
Just everybody. Everybody's just, like, walking around, oh, look at Interrupting Steve over there. Mm. And I'm just like, my name's Ryan. And they're like, yeah, sure, Interrupting Steve. So, it's really weird. Yeah. That's why I stopped going to parties.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it really does. So, Rick, how have you been doing, man? We've had a busy month, and it's, I think, just jobs and life and just having responsibilities has taken us away from doing the podcast last week, and now we're back on it. So, how have you been, man?
I know, right? I was writing and doing research last week. I wrote like 40 pages for different things that I had to do for work. So, my brain is kind of tired. I haven't done much... Today, we're here recording on a Sunday, and I've just kind of been in a fuzzy haze. I watched some football and then laid on the couch a lot and kind of goofed off. It's one of those days where you kind of look up and you're like, oh, time has passed a lot of it. What's happening?
Why is it getting like dark out?
Yeah, darkness.
Yeah.
But not too bad. I think everything will hopefully chill a little bit more now, actually play some board games. You're coming up soon, but yeah, not too horrible.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I did a bunch of yard work today, and we had a Halloween party last night, and so we've had some good gaming time mixed in with responsibility time. So
you do know Halloween is 3-1, not 1-3, right? Like,
listen,
did you guys get your calendar? Do you have like a calendar that's all backwards and stuff?
Listen, I celebrate Halloween like God intended it. All month long, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So that's, well, actually, because of Atlanta Game Fest coming up at the end of the month, which we're both going to be there, Bob's going to be there, Aaron's going to be there, our friend Josh is going to be there, we're going to have a really fun time, but because Atlanta Game Fest is at the end of the month, we're kind of in this predicament of, do we put a Halloween party a little before, or do we just skip it this year? So we decided to do it early in the month.
There you go. And so did you dress up then yesterday?
I didn't. My daughter dressed up, my oldest daughter dressed up, and then my youngest daughter put on Mickey Mouse bride ears or princess ears. I don't even understand why. And then one of our friends dressed up. And so when my daughter changed after 30 minutes into the party, my friend was like, yeah, I could have probably brought a change of clothes, but it was all good. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, what kind of party are you guys rocking where you're not dressing up? I'm very confused by this. I think you just wanted to eat a lot of candy and hang out with people.
It was food and games. That's all it was, really. Food, games, and fire outside in the backyard. So.
Well, there you go. Well, you know what? As long as you're getting together, having fun with people, who really cares for the reason?
That's true.
About
That's
the
very
reason.
True.
Yeah. Yep. So, Ryan, with all this gaming that you're doing and all these friends that you're having over,
man,
that aren't me, what what are the games that you've been playing?
So, we have been playing, I guess I'll go from Space to Halloween. That's the order I'll go.
Okay.
We've been playing Space Park. We got our copy of Space Park in from the Kickstarter that was run by Keymaster Games. And, man, that is a good game. You were actually the one to do the preview on the Kickstarter project originally when it launched. And then I backed it. I love Keymaster Games. In fact, Keymaster right now, a little plug for them, they actually have an expansion.
Kickstarter
expansion
campaign,
number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, expansion number one Kickstarter campaign for Campy Creatures, one of my favorite games. And then I actually went in on that one, which... I just love Keymaster.
I just love them.
Just love them. Space Park is really good. It's just you're selecting these really cool 3D printed spaceships, and you're selecting it and getting the action where you launch the ship from. And it's essentially, it feels a little bit like Century Golem Edition, which we love. You're collecting these gems to turn in for badges. The mechanics are simple. Kids understand it. Adults understand it. It's not too complex, but there's a lot that goes into the little decisions. You know, I'm finding more and more that if I don't have a decent hand at the end of the game, I'm not going to have a lot of flexibility. I just lost to my friend Brian, who played. I taught him how to play today. Mm-hmm. And he ended up beating me by 2 points. But I didn't have a lot of options at the end of the game because I didn't have enough cards in my hand. I really should have hit one of the spaceports and picked up a couple cards to make sure I had some more options late in the game. So, you know, you learn. You live, you learn. Space Park, that's a really, really good game. So if you see it out there in the wild, now that's in stores, you can go pick that one up. And then Haunt the House. Haunt the House is Kids Table Board Gaming. They created this. This is a Kickstarter I got back in August, but actually didn't play it until just a little while ago. And we have been playing that a lot. We, in fact, when we air this episode of the podcast, we will have just finished doing a live stream of Haunt the House. So Haunt the House is a really fun one. Check out our Facebook page for the live stream. This is a very kid-friendly, family-friendly, enough options to keep adults engaged game that has a little bit of creepiness on the cards. I really like it. It's a good game. So.
Yeah, and I think it made the list of your 2018 Halloween games.
Yes, and so that we published that. Yeah, we published that the first week of October, so you can check that out. We had 5 or 6 games, I can't remember, but games that you'll enjoy this Halloween, things that you can get right now in stores. So check that out. This is our 3rd year doing that Halloween list. I'm really a fan of these games, and so be sure to check that out at oneboardfamily.com. So
yeah, you're a little obsessed on Halloween, but you know, we'll accept it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Space Park. I'm super excited. The same designer of the game is working with 25th Century Games, with Chad Elkins that we talked to in our last episode or 2 episodes. I think our last episode I interviewed him. He's got a game coming out called Kingswood, which to me, yes, is like an advancement of Space Park that I am really, I like a little bit better than Space Park, or maybe a lot of bit better. I don't know. So, not to say that Space Park's not good, and I like the mechanic there, and it's because it's simple, but still like causes you to, you know, be strategic and stuff. But yeah, that was a good one. And Keymaster Games always has high quality components and things.
Yeah.
One of those small designers that really make sure that you get a high quality experience when you open their boxes.
They really do. And the final boxing of the final package of Space Park was just incredible. I love it. So
that's awesome.
So what you been playing, man?
Well, so I was listening to Boards Alive, Board Games Alive. I forget the exact name of their podcast, but they do a couple's date night podcast that I've checked in and now checked in on a few times.
It's Date Night.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
And so they talked about Journal 29 a few episodes back, and it's not really a game as much as it is like a puzzle book that you do together. And given that Sarah and I really like the Sherlock Holmes consulting detective stuff and the Unlock stuff, it was something that we wanted to check out or I wanted us to check out and be able to see if that kind of fit in that vein. So basically, it's supposed to be like a journal that's found on like a archaeological site, and it's filled with puzzles that you have to decipher to try to figure out what happened. It feels like a game maybe, but it's really more like a puzzle book. It's got some interesting things to it. There were some elements that you really had to think through, and there were times I feel like with those kinds of puzzle games, you really find the enjoyment when you have those aha moments. It can't be so hard that you're frustrated, but it can't be too easy that like you solve it within the first 5 seconds. And there were some puzzles there that were kind of hitting right at that target spot that were really good, where, you know, we tried a couple of solutions, and then I can remember one in particular where I looked at it and just, I guess it just clicked for some reason. I was like, oh, and we were able to solve it from there.
And you're actually using online resources for this, right?
Well, so you submit the answer. Basically, you get a code or a keyword or something from the puzzle. It guides you to a solution, and you put that onto a website. They have QR codes, or you can just go on your computer and type in the page and enter mm-hmm. the keyword, and out pops a special. You put in the answer, and another keyword pops out, and that's used for later puzzles. And so it also does a good job of quickly connecting you to like hints. There are no like official hints. There's just discussion boards where people that have been using Journal gotcha. 29 have been talking together, and they do a really good job of not revealing the answers.
Yeah.
I think we used it three times. We used it on the very first puzzle. I didn't like the first puzzle. If you get frustrated with the first one, just skip it. But it's been pretty cool. I think there's 62 pages. We did 20 in an evening, about 2 hours. But we were kind of checking into some. We also watched Saturday Night Live Halloween YouTube clips while we were doing it. It's not as easy for two people to play as like Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, because it's just one book, and it's kind of small, so it's very difficult for you both to be looking at it at the same time. Mm-hmm. But we still had a good time. It was $15 on Amazon, so I think that's not a horrible expenditure if we keep playing through it and get done with it. I guess that you also would have the option of buying it and doing it by yourself. If that's the case, I think I'd recommend, they make puzzle books and stuff that you can pick up that are, I think, because there's not really a narrative here, I'd just go with that because get a more stuff for the price that you're paying. So it's gotcha. Something we're checking out. If it sounds interesting to you, I'm not going to go around and say you must buy this, but it was interesting. So another one that we played was with our friends Katie and David. Came over for a gaming date night together, and we played Manhattan Project Energy Empire.
Nice.
which is kind of a spinoff of the Manhattan Project. It's kind of puts you in the seats of scientists you're actually countries during the Cold War, right after World War II, and you're trying to advance your country better than other people. At least that's kind of what they're telling you. It's very thematic, but like the points that you're getting don't really make sense as far as like, we're more advanced than you. So
yeah.
don't lean on that too hard. But it's a worker placement game. You start with four or three workers, and you place them in different spots on the board in order to purchase like buildings or different resources that give you special powers that you can use in later turns. You can also upgrade dice, which allow you to have energy, which enable you to also can work as workers, or they enable you to place workers in locations that already have workers. It's a bit more complex than the games that I usually play with couples when they come over. But it was one that I from time to time, I want a heavier game, a meatier game.
How did this one go over?
You know, I think it went over better than I thought it was while we were playing it. I sometimes try to give advice to people on like, here's a strategy or here's what you need to do. I had not played it before, and so I didn't know what to do. And so we're all trying to figure out building up our own engines with the different cards that we could buy, because it would give you things like, I can turn coal into plastic, and then I'll turn my plastic mm-hmm. into this, and then that can turn into points and stuff like that. So you can build a bit of an engine as you're going through and your turns. It is a little bit overwhelming with all the different places that you can place workers, but I think by the end of it, everybody kind of had the idea of, I want to play this again because I think I've got an idea of how to do it now. It took That's us cool. about 2 hours. And I would say hour and a half to two is what I would expect even on a second time through. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. It really makes you think that like every your results are because of you. There are some things in there where you can kind of do some take that, especially towards the end of the game, that kind of complicate things. But I think it just causes you to have to be thinking on your feet and stuff like that. It's a good game. I think it's a very good game, actually. It's one that you're going to play with gamers, though. You don't need to have this be... It was pushing it a bit to have this be a date night game, but they enjoyed themselves. When we were done, they were like, you know what? I'm glad we're the people that you feel you can ask to play complicated games with. So that went over well, and definitely one, if you're looking for a meatier experience, one that people should check out. And we'll probably do a review on it at some point in the future.
Cool. That's cool, man. I've looked into Manhattan Project and Energy Empire. I really like the components in the game. There's something about the graphic design that I really, really dug, and it's one that I definitely need to try. You own this game now?
Yes. Yeah, okay, so yeah. Maybe you guys, next time we hang out, we'll break this one out.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely need to play that because I'm very interested. And you brought up something, actually, that is our topic of the show, gaming couple double date nights. How do you do that? How do you make that happen? How do you do it well? And so that's what we're going to get into on the other side of this break. So, Rick, you just talked about having a double date night with around a board game. So this is something that you and Sarah get to do pretty often. And Aaron and I actually, a couple weeks ago, we actually got to meet another couple and we ran over to coffee place and we brought some board games with us and we sat around and drank some coffee and played board games and had a little double date. But why don't you tell us some of your do's and don'ts on how to do a double date board game night?
Yeah, I mean, one thing for us when it comes to finding couples to meet up with and play board games with, with board games, a lot of them are kind of geared around four players, I guess with the idea that maybe is average family size. I don't know. But it really opens itself up to having another couple come over and you guys, you know, hang out for a little while, play a game, you know, talk about some stuff, and yeah, it gives you something to do. I mean, I've had people over. We had like a few months back, our neighbor came over and she and her brother, we had dinner and then we just sat on the couches and talked for a few hours. And that was the first time I've ever done that in my life. And I felt really adulty. I don't know.
This is what adults do.
Is this how adults operate? Because I'm like, usually I'm like, I kind of had that feeling of, I mean, I got these board games here. I mean, we can play them if you guys want to. But no, we did that. But usually I like to have something that kind of can be, and plus board games are fun. So get us doing something together and it's an opportunity to get to spend time with people. So kind of what we were wanting to talk about is making a good first impression. And this is kind of from the viewpoint of the people hosting and from the viewpoint of people being invited over for the game night. So I'm kind of putting my hosting hat on first. And I think a big thing is having a meal planned. It doesn't have to be anything huge, but like something that you're going to sit down and eat first. I think having just them come over is like, hey, all right, come sit at the table. There might be people that want to do that, but I think it's better to start the night with some food, you know, everybody kind of relax, get to talking and enjoy food. I love food, man. Food is always wonderful.
And you know what? Sometimes we know that sometimes people aren't financially in a place where it's like, I can't feed this other couple that's coming over, or, you know, money's been tight this month. Something that we've done pretty often is, hey, we're just going to have some desserts. So why don't you guys bring a little thing of ice cream and we're going to make some brownies, you know, and that's another way to incorporate food into spending time together with another couple. And, just, it doesn't have to be a huge barrier to entry, but it starts off the night where you guys are full and then you get into some games.
And it doesn't have to be a huge five-course meal or anything. Exactly. You know, we're getting into the fall. Go break out a nice pot of chili. You know, I there's nothing against a mix for a chili. I know some people would say that's sacrilegious, but, you know, something simple that, you know, gets everybody kind of just eating and starting with a little conversation. And I think that, too, is a point I want to push is don't rush through the small talk. I know I'm guilty sometimes. I get excited about the board game. I eat and I start cleaning up really fast. And it can come across, though, I think, to people as this guy is rude. He doesn't want to talk to us. And so I think enjoying the small talk and, you know, relax, enjoy yourself. Yeah, yeah. You know, don't freak out.
And honestly, if you, be friends with the people you talk to. Honestly, we've had situations where the small talk has been really good and we've been hanging out and having a great time. And then when it gets to the board game, we actually end up choosing a different board game that's a little quicker. You know, you may plan something in the beginning of the night where it's like, I know that we need an hour and a half to play this. But then at the end, by the time you guys get done talking, you're like, you know what? Maybe we just play a filler game. And that's what we have to do because the conversation was so good. And I think there are some people in our hobby that may look at that and say like, oh, this was a failure because I didn't allot enough time or whatever. But no, it's a success because you're building relationships.
Right. And I think, you know, that's what, you know, the big reasons that you and I and Aaron and Bob do this is because we're encouraging people to play games instead of just sitting around on your phone or you know, watching TV and stuff. So it's about the games, yes, and we want to tell you about games, but we want games to be the vehicle through which you're getting to know people better. So if that's what you're doing instead of playing a game, then that's better. You did good things. And I put, you know, you mentioned being okay changing the game. I totally agree. I think if you're going to play something meatier, if you've got like you and I both have, I believe, game room tables versus dining tables.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so like if you've got a game room table, go ahead and have the game set up. That way, you know, you're not sitting there for half an hour trying to put something together and they have to sit awkwardly and wait for you to do that. Because it's really hard to have the conversations while you're doing that. And that would be also a reason to maybe adjust your game if it's something that's going to take a while to set up. Maybe pick something a little bit better for the scenario if you didn't get the chance to set it up.
That's a good thing. One of the things that I really like is tag teaming the rules. Okay, so Aaron and I will usually know a game that we want to present and to another couple. This way, both of us can answer questions. Mm-hmm. I teach rules differently than Aaron does, and Aaron knows the things that she maybe not doesn't connect with, because usually I'll be the rules reader. Just naturally, I dig into the rules, and I think you do too. You're one of those people that takes a rule book with you. Oh, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to take this rule book with me. You know,
we're nerds.
Yeah. So being our nerdy selves, we're usually the ones who have the details about the information. So when I teach Aaron a game or when we're sitting there learning a game together, a lot of times she'll ask the questions that are going through her head. Well, it's great to be able to tag team teaching these rules. Yeah. So I'll go over the basics and then Aaron will be like, you know, one area that I kind of struggled in at the beginning was this. And she'll talk about a strategy. And so it's cool to be able to be on the same page and to teach the rules together as a couple.
Right. And figuring out like what's important to tell at the beginning, what can we explain later in the game?
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing with most people that you'll play with, I mean, you're going to be okay not explaining every single rule so they don't it might affect your strategy a little bit, but you're learning a game and who really cares? You know, so I think making sure that you try to minimize that rules explanation time so that it doesn't get, you know, overbearing or boring. I know I've done that sometimes. And it can really just kind of take the energy out of the evening because you just had to sit there and be lectured, essentially. Not in a bad way, but that's the way that you got to explain the game. So, one thing I put there, and I put this, and it's kind of calling my wife out, and I love you, Sarah, but every time
I'm going to tell her to listen to this one.
Every time I explain the rules, Sarah starts to make jokes or do things that are distracting. And I think every single time she gets the glare from me, and I'm like, are you seriously doing this right now? Like, she'll just decide to start telling a story, or, hey, look at this thing I found on my phone, and show it to the person. I'm like, I am explaining rules right now.
That's so funny.
Yeah, me and Sarah have fought over that a couple times, but you know.
I'm going to, the next time we're around, both of you, I'm going to ask you to explain the rules in detail, and I'm just going to watch Sarah the whole time.
Yeah, it happens. It happens
so good.
Pretty much every time. That's good. I think, you know, helping each other out, I think it's, especially in a game, if you've got like rounds and there's three rounds, be super helpful in the first round and kind of back off in the second. And then in the third round, if you're wanting to be a little competitive, you can say, all right, now you guys got it. I think some people get really stingy with rules for their first time. There's no need to do that. You're having fun and enjoying yourself.
That's true. And then, of course, when the game's over, you know, everybody help clean up, you know, just be like, oh, can you pass me that bag over there? Why doesn't everybody put their meeples of the same color into these bags or whatever? Let's stack these cards up. You know, this way it's not a disaster. I've had a situation before where the people were leaving pretty quickly after the game, and I felt bad cleaning up the game, so I wanted to say goodbye, so I just took the game and piled everything and tossed it into the box. I had forgotten about it, and I pulled out the box one day, and I was like, what kind of that was me.
Who did this? Yeah. I mean, don't let like you said, don't let cleanup kind of prevent you from, like, having a proper goodbye if people are leaving and stuff. But that's more for the guests. You know, if you're able to offer to clean up, offer to help with the cleanup of the board game, because some of it can take a pretty long time. So
that's true.
Now, Ryan, we've got some that's like the good couples. Those are the people that know what they're doing and
those are the people
well behaved
game with
and things like that. So, but we've all had game nights with those couples or that couple. What are some of that couple things that we want to make sure you guys don't do? Don't be that couple.
So we've got the talkers first. They want to talk. They want to have these conversations. They want to fill you in on all of life's goodies. And I love those people. But I'm not sure I love those people when we sit down for the box says 60 to 90 minutes, and it ends up being like 3.5 hours. And usually it goes something like this, like a talker, then somebody takes their turn, a talker, then I take my turn, and then we're waiting on the talker, and we're just like sitting there, and they're like, is it my turn?
It's always your turn. Sorry. If you're ever asking that question, it's your turn.
It's always your turn. So the talkers, you don't want to be like, if maybe you don't do a game night, maybe there's a lot to catch up on, just hang out, just have coffee, just talk, just do that. But if you're putting a game on the table, you know, leave it to small talk. Don't fill in everybody's life story.
Right. And, you know, you can take breaks for a little chat from time to time. That's totally understandable. But it's like if it's every single time it's your turn and you have not planned beforehand.
Not at all.
Then we're going to not like you anymore.
Yeah.
And that kind of complements the overthinkers. You know, we talk a lot about analysis paralysis. And I think with some people, I don't know, with some people that I've played with, I've never had an experience where they don't do that. And so I think having an understanding that some people are going to take a while on their turns is okay. Sarah can kind of be that way sometimes with a game because she just wants to think through all of her options.
Yeah.
But, you know, make sure that you're not – be aware if that's kind of you in that situation that – other people are waiting on you. The thing I'd remind Sarah of is when we start talking, like if she's taking a while to take her turn, I'll start talking to the people that are over at our house. That's not an invitation to you, Sarah, to join the conversation. That's us covering while you think through your turn.
That's funny.
Like, don't insert. She'll start involving herself in the conversation. Like, no, this is not what that's for.
We're trying to make it less awkward for our guests.
Yes. No, you're making it worse.
That's so funny. There are not a lot of situations that I think I wish I could be somewhere else. But when we're around the arguers, that is the time when I wish I was somewhere else. If you've ever sat across from another couple that's playing a board game and they've argued in front of you, this is the place. This is the, I think our refrigerator's running. I'm going to go check it. The toilet sounds like it's overflowing. I'm going to go call a plumber and wait in the bathroom for him. Like, this is the thing that on this list that I dislike the most, the arguers. Don't be those people. Do not fuss and fight about what strategies your husband or wife or spouse use or don't use. Don't tell us about the time that you beat the crap out of them in a game and you were so good and you joked about it for 3 years and they grew resentful toward you. Don't do that. It's not fun for anyone. And you may laugh about it, but it's not funny. It's not funny.
I don't understand some of the adults in this world. Like,
I don't either.
People that straight up argue in front of us. I'm like, is there no, and this is board gaming, but also anywhere else. And I'm like, anywhere. Is there no scenario where you could possibly do this later? Like, we're right here. You know we're right here. Is your desire to be right so strong that you have to do it right now? Like, if that's the case, you need to chill. Ah!
When the kids were little, we spent time around a family, and there was a night where we ate dinner with this family, and they argued in front of us for straight 20 minutes. And we got in the car, and I told the kids, I was like, listen, I can't do this. Like, I just cannot function like this. So we're not going to go back over there.
We never did.
It was bad.
We had a trip we took with a couple, and they were arguing in the front seat and about like directions and where we were going. And Sarah and I were just sitting in the back, like, I mean, should we just dive out of the car? Like, I mean, is it worth the risk? This is possibly the most uncomfortable I've ever been. Yeah, it's really weird. I don't understand. That's not a life that I lead. And
I don't know.
I don't know. I used to be like that when I was a teenager, but that was when I was a teenager, and I got over the need to be right all the time.
When you were 14 to argue with somebody, that makes sense. You're an idiot, you know? Right. So when you're 30 and you're still doing it, just there's something wrong.
Yeah, and I think those people align with the over-competitors, and I think we've referenced this before, but like the ones that talk crap so strong to their spouse, like, and you're like that, and again you're uncomfortable because you're like, what is, do you guys ever like have happy times together? Like, why are you two together? What's happening?
I remember, so this is gonna show how well we try to parent. So Kendall one day, it was a couple months ago, Kendall one day decided, Kendall's nine at the time, and she is playing a board game with another adult, myself and Aaron, and she can hang with the adults. She is really good. And so she's playing this game, and she starts throwing around smack talk. And it's funny at first. Everybody's laughing at first. And then she's like, I'm going to beat you in the face. And I looked at Kendall. Aaron looked at Kendall. The other person was like, ha ha. In fact, I think it was Bob who she said it to. I think it was Bob. She said, I'm going to beat you in the face. And I looked at her. I said, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. No. And so what we realized that was sometimes Aaron and I'll get competitive and we'll play around and we'll talk smack to each other. But Kendall was trying to like add in the, hey, I heard this on the playground in my school. Let me throw this one in there. It sounds like smack talk, doesn't it? I'll just use it. And it's a bad precedent. So chill out with the competition, you know?
Was she talking about people's hairlines? Was it talking about
people's hairlines, you know? So just chill. And then, of course, we don't want to be the moochers. Don't be the moochers. Don't be the people who you come to a game night and the other person has been like, yeah, we'll just, why don't you guys bring a dessert or a drink or whatever? And you just show up. You're like, what are we having? What are we eating? You know, don't be those people. Just be kind. Just bring a little something. Be like, hey, I remember one time somebody came to a game night at our house and brought us like a housewarming gift. We had been in the house for a long time, but it still hangs on our wall. And I'm like, these people are amazing. We need to invite them to everything. It was just
super
kind.
Keep inviting them to things, and we'll give them a registry.
Yes. I need an air fryer.
Just, if you're thinking of things to get for the house, an air fryer works. And
air
I think
fryer
the same,
would be great.
The kind of opposite, the host version of that is like the cheapskate. Like if you've got, I've seen people like they've got soda in their fridge and they'll go get one and then like offer it to anybody. And you're like, yeah, it was my last one. Ha ha, sucks to be you. And you're like, wait, really?
No,
like this is the kind of person you are right now? Yeah, like
we've been that broke before and at times are still that broke, but like no joke, I would never drink a soda in front of somebody else if I didn't have one to offer. That is just the worst.
Right. So. And I mean, you're okay to not have stuff in your fridge, but like
people
get there, offer them water and say, "You know what? Sorry, we haven't gone to the grocery store," or whatever you want to say.
Exactly.
But you know, have that, and then like Sarah and I always have like bags of popcorn that we can pop if we need to. It's just a cheap little thing, you know, that we can all kind of share in. It doesn't have to be elaborate or anything like that. You don't have to do full course meals or this is the fanciest cheeses. We got them all the way from Slovakia. You just be nice. And if you are a guest, don't overdo it. Have you ever had somebody come into your house and like eat all of a thing that you were like, I was kind of wanting that for myself, like just completely destroy like a bag of chips or something? I've had that happen a couple times.
Like my friend who thought the pizza on their on the stove was theirs, but that was actually our leftovers. That was going to be my lunch for the next day, and they went ahead and plowed through all of it.
Just destroyed it. Anyway,
so enough of that. In other words, this whole list comes down to don't be a monster. So
it's Halloween, but don't be a monster.
Don't be a monster. We've got 5 game recommendations for your double date night right after this break. We'll see you in just a second.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're not going to do a top 5 list because there are endless games that we could talk about. But what we are going to do is 5 games that we recommend for your first gaming double date. You know, you're just 2 couples just trying to get to know each other. You know, maybe you kind of like each other. Maybe you just... Okay, it's getting weird.
It is weird.
Just a little bit creepy. So we're going to talk about some games that we've had success with couples coming over to the house and kind of introducing the game quickly. You want a game that the rules don't take forever. You want a game that, you know, is easy to understand for new players. You want a game that you know well, and a game that wraps up, I would say, an hour and a half, I think.
Yeah. All these fit into that timeline. Yep.
Yeah. So, Ryan, hit me with our first recommendation.
Okay. So, Quadropolis is one of my favorite games. Really fun city building game. You're building on this grid, and you're essentially just trying to find these combinations that are going to score you points. And you're using your architects to draft tiles and use them on your grid. What I like about this and the reason why it's on this list for me is because there are 2 modes to it. There's 2 sides to the grid that you've got. You can play a regular game, or you can play advanced, and both are really, really good. If you've got people who have come over a couple times, maybe you've played Quadropolis, they really enjoy it, flip it over to the advanced side and there's even more challenge. Or maybe you've got some people who are really gamers that really enjoy gaming. Flip over to the advanced side. It takes probably another 2 minutes to explain. That's it. The game plays in under an hour. Cleanup is a little bit of a hassle, but I think it still belongs on this list because Quadropolis is a lot of fun, and tile drafting is a really good mechanic.
And it's got some great design to its components. One thing that we've talked about in the past is that it has both male and female characters. So yep. you don't, not that, you know, there are some people that don't care at all, but, you know, the girls can play as girls and the guys can play as guys, or vice yeah. versa. You do whatever you want to do. Yep. And it just kind of, I think there needs to be part of the game that, like, looks good and looks nice on the table as you're playing through it, and doesn't become overwhelming or sloppy or anything like that. And Quadropolis has a nice, neat look to it yes. as you're playing through it. I think it's a really good one to break out for that first gaming double date. Another one is one that I have really fallen in love with since we played it at our gaming retreat that yep. we did. And that's Quest for El Dorado. What's the guy that designed it? Is it Nitsa? Is that
Reiner Knizia?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. I never know how to say his name.
That's good.
But it kind of is like Dominion with a board and gooder. Which gooder. Is how gooder. A person
that's
that
actually
speaks,
a box quote. This is gooder than the other games.
Yeah, one board family. I think I want to yeah. get that put on some Kickstarter in the near future.
Will never be quoted for anything.
Well, that's unfortunate. But yeah. It basically has you on a quest to go get treasure. You're moving through the board that's made up of a bunch of hexagons. You got to go through jungle or the river or through the grasslands and stuff like that. And you use cards for your movement as you build your own deck to do that. I think it also has a lot of replayability. So one thing that's good about that is that sometimes you can kind of find yourself at an advantage in a game because you've played it before. And there are some games that becomes really big. This is not one of those because the game allows you to do different setups of the board. So you can yeah. do something that you've not played before. And so therefore, it causes you to change your strategy and you will be on more even footing than the other with the other couple.
It's a really good game. I think the only warning that I have for this one is that you definitely want, this is one of those games that you definitely want to have on the table before people come over. It's a good 10-minute setup, which mm-hmm. is not a big deal, but it's just one of those things that you, like, you want to be aware of while everybody's staring at you and you're trying to set it up and you're like, this goes here and can you hand me that and I need this. And yeah, you really need to just, like, have it set up on a table, or maybe when people clean off the table, you set it up by yourself real fast, because right. it's going to take a good 10 minutes to knock that thing out. So.
And it's kind of big, too. It barely fits on our gaming table, just the way the map and all the cards and everything like that. So, yeah, it's nice to have kind of a setup beforehand.
Absolutely.
Ryan, next one is a modern classic that yeah. we don't get to talk about a lot, but it's one that needs to be mentioned more frequently.
Yeah, Ticket to Ride. Ticket to Ride is a really, really good game. It's kind of a classic for so many people love this game. And honestly, this is kind of one of those gateway games that a lot of people got a lot of people into the hobby. So Ticket to Ride is a really good couples night where you can sit down and you can play and have a good time talking. And it's, you know, there's a depth to the game, but it's not too hard. So you're going to be able to still have really good conversations while you play the game. And there's so many versions that maybe you've got some international friends that are over. You can play a different version from the UK. You can play a different, you know, map layout. There's a lot of different ways that you can go about it. Another thing is Ticket to Ride New York. That one's only about 15 minutes long. So if you have kind of a shorter game night, you take Ticket to Ride New York, play two or three games, and call it a night. It's still a lot of fun.
Yeah, and, you know, Ticket to Ride, whenever people find out that, like, Sarah and I play board games, you know, Ticket to Ride is one of the ones they yeah. ask about. It's one that people are familiar with, so, like, that Ticket to Ride New York would be a good one of, hey, you know, you guys are familiar with Ticket to Ride, right? Well, let's do this one as, and so they'll kind of have a starting spot rather than starting from yeah. scratch. And yep. I think, you know, one thing that I like about it is that it
it plays, you're going up against each other, and you can kind of get in the way of other people, but generally Ticket to Ride is one where, like, I can plan out 6 moves ahead of time. So, like, I don't have to think through, like, with, you know, Energy Empire, like we were talking about earlier, you have to think through every single move each time you're going to play, because what other people do can so strongly impact you. Ticket to Ride, it lets you plan out, like, 8 turns ahead if you want to, and that way you can kind of talk and have some conversation while you're playing that. It's a good one.
It's competitive without being overly competitive.
And it's got trains, man.
Trains. Fun. Who doesn't like trains?
And it's pretty. It really is a good-looking game. Like, it is. Ticket to Ride is solid.
Yeah. I think a lot of people in our hobby have dismissed it because it's kind of the gateway game that everybody knows.
Right.
You know, so they just, oh, yeah, Ticket to Ride. Yeah, that one. That's fine. But if you don't overdo it, I still enjoy playing it because we don't play it every day. You know, we play it 3 times a year. So.
Right. Well, and I think it's a better, like, I put Ticket to Ride in the same vein as, like, Catan. Like, those are the two that people talk about. And I think it's better than Catan for a double date because I think Catan, you end up in kind of your own head. You're having to think through so much and do so much strategizing that you don't get to enjoy each other's company as much. If you're wanting a game, I mean, Catan is still good, but if you're wanting something where you're still getting to talk and something, Ticket to Ride is better.
Absolutely agree.
All right.
So the next one on the list, what you got?
Pandemic. And Pandemic, also one that's maybe not as well known as Ticket to Ride, but it's kind of followed that same course where there's starting to be a whole bunch of different versions of Pandemic. Pandemic, just classic good old Pandemic, is a good one for a cooperative experience with another gaming couple. We've also talked in the past about how to make sure not to completely take over in a cooperative game.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be careful that you don't just end up having you and your spouse do everything for the other couple. But if everybody's on equal footing and feels okay providing suggestions to each other, I think Pandemic can be a good one for you guys to play together.
I think it's also the cooperative aspect is the reason why this one's on the list. It's such a classic cooperative game. And what's fun about it is that let's say somebody is not very competitive. This is going to be in their wheelhouse where they don't have to compete against anybody. They're competing against the game. So I think this is why Ticket to Ride, I mean, this is why Pandemic is on this list, because you don't have to compete with the other couple. You don't have to compete against your spouse. You can just play together. Make it happen. You know, everybody throw in suggestions and talk through your plan, and you'll have a good night.
Would you recommend Pandemic Iberia over regular Pandemic?
I am a big fan of Pandemic Iberia, and it's been on sale a lot lately, like for $25. Pandemic Iberia is my favorite version of Pandemic. It is a lot of fun. It changes the rules slightly, makes it, I think, a little more difficult, but it's a more enjoyable game to me. So.
Yeah. Well, and the changes are thematic, too. Still in the plastic for us. Any game that has to do with Spain, I can get Sarah to play.
That's right.
So that's why I got my hands on it. And there's a few others, like Rising Tide is one that I don't think is as Pandemic-y. There's a couple others that are coming out, I think, of Pandemic. So you have your choice if you're wanting to look at some options that might work better for your particular gaming group. Hit us with the last one, Ryan.
Last one we've got, Istanbul. Istanbul is a classic. This one is just, if you've got the gamery game people in your life, Istanbul is a good hour-long game that you're going to be able to play. And the mechanics are really fun. You're basically trying to gather rubies as you go around and make trades on this map that's laid out. You're going from market to market to mosques, and you're collecting different things. You're making trades. You're rolling dice. There's a lot of fun aspects of this game, and we've actually played Istanbul probably with 3 different couples and had really great game nights with it, and that's why it's on this list. So
yeah, it's another one that I think you've got to set up though before they come over.
This is another one of those like 5 to 10 minute setups that it would be better if you had a space to set this up, or say, hey guys, I'm gonna be in the room setting this up for a minute, why don't you guys chat, grab some coffee, whatever. So
Right. And it's, cool. You know, it's cool in that you've got, like, your character is represented by a cylinder and then a bunch of discs are, like, your workers and stuff. And you're moving around a board that you can kind of change up the way it looks. There's lots of different options for what you can do on a turn. So it is one that you're going to have to think through. But I have still, with that game, had the ability to, like, plan 6-8 turns. And then, you know, very rarely do the other players mess with that. So I think that's conducive to kind of a good game night. So these are just scratching the surface of good date night games.
Yeah.
And so we've talked a lot about some different games through our blog and through our different podcasts and YouTube reviews. So, you know, if you were looking for more examples, you can comment on this podcast or check out our stuff and learn about some other games that we think are pretty awesome.
That's right. Head over to oneboardfamily.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at oneboardfamily. Be sure to check out our Monday night Halloween game nights throughout the month of October. Each Monday night, we're doing a live stream gaming and showing you a new Halloween-themed game, something that we really enjoy in the season. And so be sure to check that out because these games are a lot of fun. Actually, we gave away a prize on the last episode. So one of our viewers, Jerry, ended up winning a copy of an Unlock game that we had still in the shrink. So Sweet. It was a really, really fun night. We had a lot of fun with it. So
hey, Unlock, another kind of game that would be fun on a date night. Just saying.
Unlock's really good. If you've got another couple that's really into deduction, puzzle solving and stuff like that,
that's another fun escape room.
So an escape room. So until next time, Rick, we will see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.
Do 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 do. It's a song about things. I'm gonna sing a song about board games. Okay,
that's beautiful.
There we go. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. So.
I think that needs to be what opens us up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you.